Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3. Again, if you need a title, it's Christian Islands. Make sure you put a question mark after it. Let's read verses 16 and 17, and then I'm going to read John 13, 34 to 235, and I'm going to read those passages in the Amplified Bible. Let's read John 3, 16 and 17 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 13, verse 34 to 35. Jesus said, I give, in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. And that's the key. To keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, what is it, what do you call a tract of land completely surrounded by water, but not large enough to be a continent? Well, you guys are smart. An island. Well, there's another definition. And I found this one very interesting. I never thought of island this way. Something resembling an island, especially being isolated or having little or no direct communication with others. Yeah, that's what I said when I read it. That's what I said. Let me think about that one. When Pastor Ed and I, we were discussing, you know, some correspondence that we received, some proposals, some meetings, you know, and you know, some of them were about forming or reinstituting some fellowships here. And, you know, we're not opposed to that. We're not opposed to it at all. But there needs to be something else there. Let me ask you this question. How many of you here are children? Just raise your hand. How many of you are adults? Okay, good. How many of you are married? How many are single? How many have children? How many don't? Okay. All right. So we have a pretty diverse demographic group here. You know, now, let me ask you this. Does it mean that if you have children and someone doesn't, does that mean they can't share any wisdom with you about raising children? Because I marvel, I really do, because I'll hear folks, well, you don't understand because you don't have children. Or when you'll have children, come back and talk to me. You know. Yeah, I said one, you know. But the part that amazes me is that we will read books written by people that have no children and take what they say as the gospel. We will read books about managing our finances by someone who's not a multimillionaire. But we will do that. We will form groups, and we will just look at a group or look at something and say, I need to be with this bunch, or I don't need to be with that bunch, or we'll come up with all of these reasons without realizing that it doesn't matter who it is. God can speak. Didn't God speak to Balaam through a donkey? God can use any means he chooses to get wisdom to us, to get what he wants us to have, what he knows we need to us. We have to position ourselves to receive it. And if we set ourselves up as islands, God's not, he may not put a barge there to come across to get it to you. You know, he may expect us To be in a position, because he didn't make islands. He didn't make us to be anything resembling an island. And he doesn't want us to be so, like it says on the marquee, he doesn't want us so consumed with our own thoughts that we fail to get what we need from him just because we're trying to get what we think we need. So let's think about what has God command. What are some of the things that God has commanded us? To love one another, that's good. What else? Live holy. To give. To be obedient. How about to go into all the world? And preach the gospel. How about to heal the brokenhearted? Set at liberty them that are bruised. Right, all that part of it. Yep, I heard lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yep, all of those things he has commanded us to do. And then some. Look at Titus 2. And I'm going to share this in the Phillips translation. Verses 2 to 8. This is in a Phillips translation. It's subtitled, Good Character Should Follow Good Teaching. Actually, in the Phillips, it starts at verse 1. Now you must tell them the sort of character which should spring from sound teaching. The old men should be temperate, serious, wise, spiritually healthy through their faith and love and patience. Similarly, the old women should be reverent in their behavior, should not... What's the matter? Hey, I'm just reading what it says. Okay. Like the older women. Is that better? Okay. How come you didn't say that when I said the old men? Similarly, the older women should be reverent in their behavior, should not make unfounded complaints, should not be overfond of wine. They should be examples of the good life so that the younger women may learn to love their husbands and their children, to be sensible and chaste, home lovers, kind-hearted, and willing to adapt themselves to their husbands, a good advertisement for the Christian faith. The young men, too, you should urge to take life seriously, letting your own life stand as a pattern of good living. Now, how can my life stand as a pattern for good living if I only interact with people like me? In all your teaching, show the strictest regard for truth and show that you appreciate the seriousness of the matters you are dealing with. Your speech should be unaffected and logical so that your opponent may feel ashamed at finding nothing in which to pick holes. It means there shouldn't be anything anyone can say about us and be telling the truth. You know, that's contrary to the way God says we should be. How can we do that? How can we show that if we're islands? If we're not out there fellowshipping one with another, regardless of what demographic group you fit into. Because really, the only fit that matters is that you're part of the body of Christ. You fit there. And that's all that matters. Because once God placed you there, now you're a part that's supposed to supply things to the other parts. Not take away, not stand off and keep all that you have for yourself, but to supply. How many of you ever gotten gasoline? Right. Where are those gas pumps situated? On an island. But what's on the pump? It has a means to reach out and give what's needed to those that come. That's what it does. It doesn't stand and say, no, I'm keeping this. This gas is mine. I'm keeping it. No, even though it's on an island, it's reaching out. It doesn't stay there. It doesn't isolate itself. It reaches out and it's willing to empty itself so others will be filled. That's what it does. And that's all it does. It just dispenses. And it, as a matter of fact, and it's not even looking for one particular type. It'll dispense to any vehicle that drives up. And it doesn't care if you need 87 octane, 89 octane, 92 or diesel. It's going to give you what you need because it understands that's what it does. That's what it does. We want to understand who we are and what we are supposed to be doing as Christ's body and members in particular. See, we can't get caught up in our own individual thoughts and desires and wants that we forget that we're on assignment. That we're on assignment. And we're on a collective assignment as the body. And more specifically, as this portion of the body that has a specific purpose that God wants done from this portion. And it can only be done by the body. It can't be done by a part. It has to be done by the body at large, as a whole. Look at 1 Corinthians. We got a letter in the mail. And we were reading this letter, and it was like, woo, this is good stuff. And it shared 1 Corinthians 12, I think it was verse 14. But I'm going to share 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 19, I believe, in the Message Bible. Reads, I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together, not separately. If foot says, I am not elegant like hand embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. See, we have been carefully placed by God, right where he wants us at this particular time and season. Every single person here, from the youngest to the oldest, has been carefully hand-placed by God for a specific purpose. For a specific purpose. And we just want to find out what that purpose is and fulfill it. The parts which do not look beautiful have deeper beauty in the work they do, while the parts which look beautiful may not be at all essential to life. See, we have to stop going up because something looks good. You know, I know it's silly, but I remember this song that if you want to be happy for the rest of your life. Okay. Just because she got all the looks, she may not be the helpmeet that God wants for you. And he may not be the priest of the house God ordained for you. He may still be developing his priesthood. So you better look for more than just beauty. Okay. Right. It says, those which look beautiful may not be at all essential to life. But God has harmonized the whole body by giving importance of function to the parts which lack apparent importance, that the body should work together as a whole with all the members in sympathetic relationship with one another. Now, listen to this is how the Amplified Bible puts it. And those parts of the body which we consider rather ignoble are the very parts which we invest with additional honor, and our unseemly parts and those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seemliness, modesty, and decorum, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so adjusted, mingled, harmonized, and subtly proportioned the parts of the whole body, giving the greater honor and richer endowment to the inferior parts which lack apparent importance, so that there should be no division, no discord, or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. No division. None. But the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. The Amplified Bible says it differently. See, the youth shouldn't say of the adults, you don't like our music, so we have no need of you. It shouldn't be. An adult shouldn't say to the youth, I don't like the way you dress, so I don't have need of you either. You know, when you get to be 23, 24, then you come back. By then you've learned to pull your pants up at least. Okay, then that's what we do. Young adults shouldn't say to the seniors, well, you know, that was the olden days. We're not living in the olden days now. And that was one of the most scariest things I ever heard. When our children came and said, Dad, that was in the olden days. I'm like, no, Grandma was the olden days. Okay. I don't mean my wife either. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, the married shouldn't say to the unmarried, you know, come back when you get a husband or a wife and then we can talk. No, the parts should be compacted, each one supplying. Just because you're not married doesn't mean you can't give wisdom to someone that is, and vice versa. Because we're in the same family, we're part of the same body. So we shouldn't have to have, you know, a married group in order for the married folks to get wisdom. You know, I know we used to have covenant partners here, but you shouldn't have to have a covenant partners fellowship just so married people can get together and talk about married stuff. They already know married stuff. They're married. Okay. And when you think about it, what wisdom is going to be shared in a fellowship group that's not being shared on Sundays and Wednesdays? Now, we understand that in the groups it gets shared differently sometimes. And you can do some other things that you might not normally do in this setting. But that should just enhance. And that should be really as you are in fellowship, one with another, and you're talking, and you're sharing, and you're exchanging ideas and life stories and things like that. And that's building each other up, not separating and creating islands. You know, I understand, you know, having children's church and youth fellowship because the Bible, there's a distinct difference. The Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the Bible's telling us, yet children learn things and think differently. So yes, you know, they may need to get things at their level, but once you're no longer a child, that should no longer be necessary. God expects us to be able to learn from the same Holy Ghost presenting the same thing as we are fellowshipping one with another. And if when we do that, there's no need to separate. No need. Because we're fellowshipping together and we're fellowshipping around the Word. Now think about this. I was thinking about this as I was working and I just started laughing. Since God always uses the body and we're talking about the body and being one in the body and many parts. Can you imagine, just imagine this sight. All of our eyes decided they were going to have a weekend advance. Now you picture your eyes jumping out of your head and getting to a location so that all the eyes can get together. Okay. I mean, after all, I mean, they work hard, and they said, well, we just need time to just get away. You just think about that. I mean, it's, and your fingers decide to have a convention. Let your eyes try and get there without the rest of the body. Okay. I mean, there's something wrong with that. Well, first of all, what they're thinking that, oh, well, I don't need the body. I can just go. What do you think would happen if all of our brains decided to leave and get together, have a convention? What would happen to the body? What would happen? We'd be dumb. Right? That's right. I mean, and then man, after you'd be dumb, probably be dead. Okay. Because if the brain leaves, the rest of the body won't know what to do. You know, your arms and legs, they don't know what to do, so guess what they'll do? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, we need to just think of it. The body wasn't designed to be separated. And if it's separated, we find out real quick, really quick, that we need that part. Real quick. I see doctor going, yeah, that's right. That's why it amazed me. It really does when you know, some surgeons act like you have spare parts. They say, oh, no, you don't need this. Just take it out. I mean, first operation that was when they took my tonsils out. I was 7. And just before a candy-eating holiday, they took out my tonsils. And they didn't, you know, give you the IV and you just go to sleep. They put a strainer over your face and dripped ether. But before they did that, they had these 3 huge guys hold my legs, hold my arms. And I'm screaming for mommy and she ain't coming. And I mean, it was just, I remember it like it was yesterday. Because they say, oh, you don't need your tonsils. And now they're saying, well, you know something? Maybe you do. I'm like, I can't find them now. They're gone. Look at Ephesians 4. I'm going to share verses 15 and 16, but I'm going to share it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, rather let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things to him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, listen to this, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, you could say in all its members, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions. And it grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. The New Living Bible says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Not independent of the other parts, but does its work together in concert with, in harmony with one another. When we do that, the whole body grows. The whole body. Can you imagine? Just think about it again, just using these analogies of bodies. Can you imagine if my right arm just hangs out with other right arms and it grows? My left arm and everything else stays the same. But my right arm, You know, and this one I may have, you know, a 14-inch bicep, but this one grows and I have 24-inch bicep on this arm. I'd look a little strange, to say the least. But this says the whole body fitly joined together by the joints and ligaments which supply when each part with power is working properly in all its functions. Not in some, in all of them. God expects us to work properly in all of our functions. See, one thing that you know, Pastor Ed said when we were talking, and I'm paraphrasing, and if I get it too far off, Pastor Ed, you can reel it in. But he said, we need to stop looking inward for our own needs and start looking outward. See, when you start looking outward toward others, now you're going to find God's heart. Oh, you're going to hook up with his heart in a hurry. But we have to start looking outward. Yeah, you may look inward just to examine yourself. And you may have to build yourself up, but the purpose of building yourself up is so that you can look outward, so you can dispense, so you can attach yourself stronger, get a firmer foothold, get better at doing your part, your special work. That's what God expects of everyone, and particularly that's what it appears that he's expecting of us. Hebrews 10, let's look at that. Verse 23. The only one, Hebrews 10. Yep. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. I really want I'll just read verse 25. That's where I want to get to. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. How? See, it doesn't say separate. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That means, yeah, there's some people that may not assemble together, but you don't do that. We assemble ourselves together, exhorting one another, and so much more, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Some translations, we're supposed to, you know, provoke each one another to what? Good works. So now, how can I provoke you if I'm not fellowshipping with you? I can't provoke you if I'm an island. Because I'm an island, I have no communication. I'm in isolation. I'm a hermit. And that's not who we were designed to be at all. And again, we're not saying we're not going to have any auxiliary fellowships. We're saying when we do, they're structured so that it supplies all of the other parts. You know, it's not just, you know, this group is going to get together and do their thing. No, what about the body? What about the collective wisdom? I don't remember who said it, but I heard a quote and never forgot it. It said, none of us are as smart as all of us. None of us are as smart as all of us. We need all of us doing what we were designed to do so that we collectively can get done the things that God wants us to do. Matthew 6, let's go there. It was a familiar passage. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything here. I'm going to share portions of this in a few different translations. Verses 31 to 33 in Matthew 6. This is God's Word translation. Don't ever worry. Don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink or what are we going to wear? And as I was reading that, you know, I heard, add this. Who am I going to marry? How am I going to pay for college or grad school? Do I need Medicare Part D? You know, what am I going to do if I retire? You know, everyone is concerned about these things, and your Heavenly Father certainly knows you need all of them. But first, when? First, be concerned about His kingdom and what has His approval. But first, be concerned about His kingdom and what has His approval. Then, all these things will be provided for you. Then, after you've shown concern about His kingdom, after you've shown concern about what He has approved, then He will add all those things. And He says, all, not some. He'll add all of those things. The Message Bible. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think He'll attend to you, take pride in you, do His best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Listen to this. To not be so preoccupied with getting that you can't respond to God's giving. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your human concern, your everyday human concerns will be met. Good News Translation says, instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what He requires of you. Above all else, what does He require about you? When you see, I was reading in Nehemiah about the rebuilding of the wall around Jericho, and that wall was built by families and groups. Sons and working with their fathers, and one account, I guess the person didn't have any sons, so what? Guess what? He rebuilt the wall with his daughters. Now just think about it. They're rebuilding the wall. Can you imagine the fellowship they had one with another while they were doing it? Can you imagine the wisdom that was exchanged? The new skills that were learned as all those different folks worked together to rebuild that wall? I'm sure everybody there wasn't an engineer. Everybody there wasn't a carpenter or a bricklayer. But they all pitched in. And they all learned as they were rebuilding the wall in the midst of some tough opposition. I mean, they're building the wall and some are bearing arms, you know. And then say anyone said, look, I'm tired of work. You get down here, I'll stand back and hold the sphere for a while. No, they worked together in harmony, getting the work done they were commissioned to do. And I'm sure the fellowship one another had to be fantastic. Because I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about the conversations that I used to have, you know, with our sons when we're just putting together, you know, one of those gifts that have 6,854 pieces. Do it. I look, I said, I'm not doing this by myself. But you just start talking about things and asking, why did they make it like this? Why can't you just do that? You know, it doesn't work right together that way because of this, this, and this. I mean, just fellowshipping as you're doing a common goal, working on a common project that's people-oriented and not specific group oriented. They were just going on about God's business. I mean, see, one of the things that we want to see here are the family members pulling together and taking care of the needs of the house and the property. Just think about the fellowship that would take place as we're all doing landscaping. I'm serious. We're planting the flowers, we're planting bushes, we're trimming things. Everybody. We're sweeping off the basketball courts or the tennis courts. You know, we're shoveling snow and throwing snowballs and, you know, all that stuff. You know, you shovel in the walkway and you start shoveling. You know? Or just as you're fellowshipping together and just having a great time. I mean, think about the food. If we opened up and said, you know, everybody just bring food. Oh, man, you look around at the people that know how to cook here, you know. I mean, think about all of that where everybody benefits from everybody all of the time. And then when we do have, you know, a separate group meeting for something, everybody helps out. This group is meeting, so no, we have to make sure it's right and this and that. Is there anything else you need? And everybody pulling together, everybody working together, nobody being an island, but everybody being one body. Many members, how many? One, many members, but how many bodies? One body. That's not an island. That's a functioning body. The demographics didn't matter. Everybody was pulling together. Now, the first friend, real friend that I had after I became born again, we were talking once. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. And he showed us an example, and he was talking specifically about, you know, about marriage and couples and how the husband and wife can come closer together. But I was thinking about that today, and I said, you know, this holds true for the body of Christ. Because if you can, I just need two points. Ken, could you just stand right here for me, please? Just as a reference, with this being, the podium being the focal point. Okay, I just need you to stand here. Okay. I have Ken and Ken. Would you come here, please? Just want you. Right, just right here is fine. Right here. Just so you can see like the triangle here. Okay. All right. Ben, why don't you come and help me? Come on. It's okay if you don't have your shoes on. I'll take mine off and make you feel better. Come on. Okay. Could you just back up just a little? Okay, just stand right here, Ben. Okay. So if Ben and I want, you know, we want to get closer together. Okay, and we're over here. All right. No, we can go this way. Come meet me here. And we may have some here, but it may not be lasting. But if we start walking toward Christ, come on, just come to walk. As we both start walking to Christ, what happens to us? We get closer together. As we're both seeking after Christ, we get closer together. That's the way God wants it to be, folks. That's why he wants us to fellowship one with another. Thank you, gentlemen. Come on, I'll give you one now. Come on. Hey, okay, all right, thanks. All right. I mean, that's what God wants. He wants the body seeking hard after him, and in the process, we get closer and closer and closer to the point where when the enemy looks at us, he doesn't see a whole bunch of people. And that's where that song comes in. He goes, I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. And he looks and he sees this humongous body walking together in absolute unity. Well, that's why it says in the song how good and pleasant it is when we're together. How? In unity. Because there God commands the blessing, life, even life forevermore. No division, no discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike, having a mutual interest in and care for one another. All our various parts closely joined, firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments which is supplied, each part endued with power so that it can function according to its need, working properly, the whole body grows. we're seeking God's kingdom and righteousness first, every single need of every single person met. We are not Christian islands. We're the body of Christ, and we're members in particular.